Do we see any antichrist in our world? They're everywhere. And they're not silent either. They're very vocal. They're the ones that are the squeaky wheels, right? They're the ones that's protesting. They're the ones that's asking for this, that's asking for that, that's wanting more freedoms, that's wanting their agenda acknowledged. And so we see these antichrists are growing in our world. They're grouping together. They're becoming more and more prolific and more abundant and more profound in all that they do.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark continued his series in 1 John, and he read from 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 29 in his sermon titled, In the Spirit or Not. And now, Brother Mark.
I'm going to be back in the 1 John, and I've entitled this message, In the Spirit or Not. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18, and we'll go into chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In the Spirit or not? So turn in your Bibles to 1 John and stand with me as we read out of God's Word. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But if you have an anointing, but you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, the Holy One, and you know all things, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son, and whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. And if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we may be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know him. Beloved, we are now children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Let us pray. Father God, take your word and make us alive. Put it in our heart. Embed it there deeply that we might be able to bring it up and think on it and ponder it and use it for daily living. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can own a copy of your word. We thank you that we can read it. And Lord, they haven't taken that right away from us yet. And Lord, as we have that privilege, may we take your word and commit it to memory. So that if the time ever does come where they take the word away from us, we will have it in our heart. Lord, we love you. We need you every moment of every day. And these things we pray and the church said, amen. You may be seated. He starts out in verse 18 and he says, little children. He says, he's talking to the sons and daughters, the children of God, those who are in Christ. And then we see this reference to time. And I know last week Terry was talking about time and Celebrate Recovery. And as I was working on this message, there's a lot in here about time. And there's a lot of truth to what you was talking about in small group about time. And it's saying to believers, John said to the believers there, the children of God, he said, we're in the last hour. We're in the last hour. And he was saying that time is short, that time is fleeting. And as you get older, you know very well that time is fleeting. Amen? It goes faster and faster. One thing I've noticed about time, it's like a roller coaster. The longer you stay on it, the faster it goes. And that's like time in life. And if you're young and you're thinking about what's he talking about, you just wait. You just wait till you get older and you no longer begin on Monday and it's Friday. You no longer begin on the first day of the month and it's the next month. You no longer begin this year and all of a sudden it's next year. And the seasons fly by, the years fly by, and they're going faster and faster all the time. And you just want to stop and get off once in a while, right? You just want to slow time down a little bit. You know, and when I was young, and I'm sure a lot of you all did this when you was young, and if you are young, you do this, but you say these things like, I can't wait until, and it's something to do with time. I can't wait until I graduate college. I can't wait until I'm finished with high school. I can't wait until I get to drive. I can't wait until, well, listen, when you get older, you can wait. You know, the things that you have to wait for seem to take forever, but they come by pretty fast, right? They happen pretty fast. Time is fleeting. John says that we're in the last hour because many antichrists have already come. And if the believers were living in the final hours in that day, we must be living in the final minutes and maybe in the final seconds before Christ returns. And we don't know about God's time. You know, a lot of people say with God, 1,000 years is not a very long time. We don't know about God's time, but we do know this, that every day we live, we're one day closer to Jesus coming back. Every successive age has in it some signs of the last days, which precedes Christ's coming. And that's a good thing because that keeps the church on their toes, right? It keeps us wondering and wanting and knowing that the hope, the blessed hope, is on the way. And so it keeps us on our toes. The Antichrist, in this passage of Scripture, are adversaries of Christ. Literally, anyone who is against Christ is an adversary. In fact, if we were to boil that down a little further, anyone that's not for Christ is an antichrist. And you may say, well, I'm not really for Christ or against Christ. Well, if you're not for Christ, you are against Christ. You are an antichrist. So an antichrist is literally just an adversary of Christ. These antichrists are of the devil, and they are against God, His Word, and His people. We have seen much heresy among our generation in the teachings of Darwinism, in the teachings of Unitarianism, and in the teachings of Scientology. We've seen different sects rise up out of Christianity and even cults who claim there's other ways to get to heaven other than Jesus Christ. But Jesus said in his word, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. We live in a world full of unbelievers who profess to be wise in their own eyes, who push their agenda and their ideologies upon all of society, and we see these ideologies politicized and incorporated in our society today. We see individuals who claim a form of godliness, yet support and practice behaviors that are strictly against the Word of God. Amen? We see this every day. We see this in our world over and over. Proverbs 6, 16 and 19 says this, these six things does the Lord hate. Yes, seven of them are an abomination to God. Let's look at these things. The proud look. The lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift to run to evil. A false witness that speaks lies. And one that sows discord among the brethren. My, oh my. Are these things not prevalent in our world today? Everywhere we look, we see these things happening right before our eyes. And they're happening in high places. 19 says, they went out from us because they were not of us. Not part of the fellowship of believers. They did not have fellowship with us because they did not have the Spirit of God living in them. Whereas if they was of God, they would have persevered with us. The bottom line is, you're either an antichrist or you're pro-Christ. You're either for him or you're against him. It's by man's own evil heart that they choose the way to hell, and it's by God's free and sovereign grace that men accept the election of God and become his children. In verse 20 is a but. And but is the greatest difference in all of the Bible. If ifs and buts were candy and nuts as happy as larks, we'd all be. Remember that saying? The but here equates to the means by which believers are able to stand against Antichrist. He says, you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit living in you, which you have received from Christ, which gives you the ability to withstand any Antichrist. Because light always overcomes darkness. John 3:34 says, whom God has sent speaks words of God. For God does not give spirit by measure. What does that mean? God does not give spirit by measure. Well, the Spirit of God is a person. And you don't get part of a person when you get saved. You get all of him, right? You get the whole nine yards. You get the whole kit and caboodle. You get it all. You get the complete Spirit whenever you ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. And you are indwelt by His Spirit. And His Spirit lives in you, and His Spirit will never leave you. You always have His Spirit. You don't get part of the Spirit, and then as you grow, you get more. And as you grow, you get some more. That's not the way it works. God does not give it by measure. He gives it completely. And when you give your life completely to God, He completely inhabits you. Okay? John 15:26 says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Those anointed of God in Christ alone can resist, and those anointed with the Spirit can resist Satan and the Antichrist, who would sever them from the Father and from the Son. Believers have an anointing of the Spirit from the Father also, as well as from the Son. Even as the Son is anointed therewith by the Father, hence the Spirit is the token of all that we are in the Father and in the Son. It is that earnest payment. It is that down payment. It is that thing that we can count on to know that we know that He lives in us. Because if you have the Spirit living in you, you know it. You hear Him. You feel Him. He tugs at your heartstrings. He tells you when you've done wrong. He gives you conviction. He guides you in the right way. He interprets the Word of God to you. He is all things to you as a believer. And if you are a believer and you have the Spirit, you know it. Verse 21, he says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know the truth. He's writing this stuff because they know what he's talking about. And that no lie is in the truth. The truth and lies are just like oil and water. They don't mix. They don't mix. Because you know what the truth is, you're also able to detect a lie as a thing that's opposed to the truth. So how do you and I know what the truth is? Well, one, we have the Spirit of truth that lives in us, right? But we also have the Word of truth. The Word of God is truth from cover to cover. And we can read the Word of God, and we can know the truth of God's Word. And as we know the truth of God's Word, we are able to dispel lies. We are able to tell what is truth and what is not truth. And if you don't know, just take whatever you're wanting to check and check it against the Word of God. If it lines up with the Word of God, it's truth. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's a lie. Okay? For a straight line, the Holy Scriptures is the measure against all lines that are crooked. The truth is never a lie, and the lie can never be truth. They are opposed to one another, just like darkness and light. 22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. So who is a liar? Whoever denies that Jesus is God's Son and the only way to heaven and the Savior of the world and God the Son that come to earth incarnate as man and lived among us and then died on the cross for all the sins of all mankind. The Antichrist is him that denies the Father and the Son. To deny the latter is to virtually deny the formal. So if you deny Jesus, you're denying that God exists. To deny that Jesus is the Christ or that he is the Son of God or that he came in the flesh invalidates the whole Scripture, everything. Matthew 11:27 says, Jesus said, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. Who is a liar in 23 but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son, and whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father. So it's pretty simple, right? You acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. You make him Lord of your life. You say that God sent him, his only Son, to die on the cross for your sins, that God raised him from the dead, and that he's seated and alive and at the right hand of God. You're acknowledging that Jesus is who he said he was. You have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have God. But any person that would deny any of them things, that would deny Jesus, that would deny the Holy Spirit, is the same as denying there is a God. John 1, 4 through 2 and 3 says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world." Do we see any Antichrist in our world? They're everywhere. And they're not silent either. They're very vocal. They're the ones that are the squeaky wheels, right? They're the ones that's protesting. They're the ones that's asking for this, that's asking for that, that's wanting more freedoms, that's wanting their agenda acknowledged. And so we see these antichrists are growing in our world. They're grouping together. They're becoming more and more prolific and more abundant and more profound in all that they do. 24, therefore let that, and by that is the confession. The confession is Jesus Christ is Lord. So therefore let that confession abide. What's it mean to abide? Remain. So let that confession remain in you, that Jesus Christ is Lord, in which you heard from the beginning. When was the beginning? It was when you heard the gospel and you believed that Jesus Christ was Lord, that he was God's son, that he died for you. That was the beginning, right? The beginning is when you acknowledge who Jesus is. And then you confess him as Lord. And so he says, let that confession remain in you, which you heard from the first time you heard the gospel. And if what you heard from the first time you heard the gospel remains in you, that confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. You see, there is no separation. Once you have the Father, once you have the Son, once you have the Spirit, you never not have them. They are with you forever. Jesus said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And Jesus never lied. He is faithful. Having given us the Spirit of truth and life, we become transformed in the likeness of him who gives the Spirit and light. So going back to the first part of 1 John, it said that when you asked Jesus to come into your heart, you got the light, right? And you can't keep that light from manifesting itself outside of your heart. It manifests itself in love and compassion. It manifests itself in sharing the good news message. It manifests itself in all kinds of ministries, in all kinds of good deeds, to all kinds of people, because the love of God is the light that is in you, and you cannot suppress it if you have it. It will come out. 25, and this is the promise that Jesus promised us. The promise is eternal life. John 3:15 says, "Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life." John 3:36 says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life." John 6:40 says, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life." These, in verse 26, he says, "These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you." Now, if you're a believer and you've been a believer very long, I'll guarantee you people have tried to convince you of things that's not true. Whether you're in school, they've tried to convince you of evolution and Darwinism. Whether you're with your friends, they've tried to convince you that God's not true, that this is all a lie, and you don't have to do all these things, and you don't have to be like that. People all around you will try to convince you otherwise. But he wrote to us these things concerning those who try to deceive us. Once again, folks, we must read the Word of God. We must take it in our heart. We must keep it there so that we don't sin against God and we're not led away by false teachers, even by preachers who stand in the pulpit every Sunday. You need to know what the Word of God says because they're not all telling the truth. And it may not be that they're not telling the truth. It may be just be that they're not saying it. You know what I mean? It's watered down. It's not bringing about conviction. It's not doing what God wants His Word to do, and that is work. Because God's Word always does a work. It never returns void. You will try to succeed. That is, they are trying to seduce you, to lead you into error. But if you know the Word of God, you do as Jesus did, and you quote that Word to them. And you say, "Get away from me, Satan," and he will flee from you. 27, but the anointing which you have received from Him remains in you. It abides in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. If you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, you don't need a teacher. You have the teacher in you. That's why God says, no longer will I write my law on tablets of stone. Because when He wrote His law on tablets of stone, they were external. And people had a hard time following them. They had a hard time reading them commandments and actually doing them. So God says, I'm going to do it a different way. I'm going to write my law on their hearts. And when I have my law inside them, they will know the truth and they will follow the truth because it's on the inside. It's in their heart. And once you have it in your heart, then you're able to do what God wants us to do because it's coming from our heart. And our heart is what leads us to do the right thing, right? Amen? Out of the heart comes all the what? Issues of life. Out of the heart. So out of your heart, what you want is a good heart, right? And to get a good heart, you have to have Jesus in your heart. And once you have Jesus in your heart, out of your heart will come all of the good things that God wants to do through and in you. So what you have received from Him, it remains in you. You don't need anyone to teach you. But as some anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, it is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, it will remain, you will remain in Him. Here is another but in the Scripture. But if you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in you, you don't need anyone to teach you. Because you have the Spirit. Would the Holy Spirit ever lead you away from God? No. It always leads you to God. It always points you in the right direction. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit would never do anything against Himself. Jeremiah 16:13 says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you in all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you of things to come. So I've heard some of you people say that you are able to discern things that are coming. And if you are able to discern things that are coming, and you have the light in you, then you are able to tell other people what is coming so that they by some means might come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and you will be able to use that gift to help people find Jesus. And God has given you that gift in His Holy Spirit so that you have great discernment. And discernment's a good thing. Discernment's a positive thing. And it's able to help people to keep from getting hurt. It's able to help people to find Jesus. And we should use all the gifts that God has given us to help people find Jesus as their Lord and Savior. God is sufficient for all those who believe. 28. And now, children of God, remain in Him. So that when He appears, we'll have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that practices righteousness is born of God. Abide in Him. Remain in Him. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, to teach you, to speak prophecy to you, and be who God has made you to be. In other words, let God's Spirit work in you so that He may manifest to those around you so that they may smell a sweet aroma, a sweet-smelling savor, the aroma of God. Some of you believers stink. Amen? And some of us at times stink. And I'm not talking about physical odor. I'm talking about spiritual odor. You know, what kind of aroma are you giving off? And at times you say, well, at times I give off a godly aroma. And I'm sure you do. But at other times, if you're like me, we give off a stench. A stench that would smell a lot like the world. A worldly stench. You know, we look down our nose at other people and judge them. We give off this a stench that we're better than them by some means. And we stink a little bit, right? But God is righteous, and therefore everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Love is the grand principle and feature of 1 John. And we'll get into that as we go into 1 John, but love is the greatest of all. Love covers a multitude of sins, and there are three things that remain, and love is the greatest of those things that remain. And the love of God is a love that surpasses any love. And if we have the love of God abiding in us, and we allow that love to come out of us, it is a godly smell to those around us. God is righteous, therefore is the source of all righteousness. And then when man does righteousness, we know where that's coming from. It's coming from the source, and that source is God. In conclusion, I thought I would have us all stand and read the first two chapters, or first two verses of chapter 3 together. These are verses, this verse is quoted a lot of times, so if you would stand with me and we'll read this in unison. Beginning in verse 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Great words from God's Word that we should take and hide deep in our heart. What manner of love the Father has given us that we might be called His children. Would you pray with me? Abba, Father, thank You for adopting us into Your family and making us Your children. Thank You for giving us Your Spirit who lives in us, that we might have great discernment, that we might be able to love like You love, that we might have a godly aroma. And Lord, help us as we go into the world and as we go through this week, that people would take note that we've been with God. They would see that because we practice righteousness, just as you are righteous. Lord, give us the strength. Give us the power to overcome the evil one. And Lord, I pray that we would be living examples wherever we go. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The singing page 301.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.